the rest of the story. Mark was in the middle of a dream which he might have liked to recall when a pounding on the door drove it from his memory forever. The young medical student struggled to his feet, stumbled through the darkness toward the insistent sound. An old friend had driven the 200 miles from Grand Rapids, Minnesota to St. Paul in the middle of the night. "What's wrong?" Mark asked. "I need a favor," Frank said. "Doctor business." "But I'm not a doctor yet," Mark reminded him. "Doesn't matter," Frank answered. And Frank began pacing like an anxious animal in a cage. "It's Ethel," he said, his voice breaking. "She needs an abortion." Mark clutched his bathrobe about his throat, sank into a chair. Frank's wife, "Needed an abortion?" he asked, stressing the operative word. "Ethel is jumping off tables," Frank confided. "Purposely hurling herself down flights of stairs, trying to destroy the baby. Our two growing girls are plenty, she thinks. She doesn't want any more children." "What did Frank think?" Mark wanted to know. The former stopped pacing, slowly, wearily wiped a hand across his face. "Well, maybe Ethel was right," he concluded. "After all, they were happy as they were. Anyway, she was only 2 months pregnant. No big deal, eh?" And yet, no big deal in the winter of 1921 was both illegal and very dangerous. Mark was wide awake now. His mind was racing. Frank and Ethel were a successful, respected young couple in their community. Frank wrote a popular society column for the Atascosa County Independent. His wife was beautiful and talented. There must be something darker in all this, Mark decided. For although Frank had never discussed the matter openly, most folks who had known him for a while assumed that he was bisexual. There had been whispers of relationships with men before Ethel, and even since. Gossip so persistent that Frank's wife could scarcely have avoided overhearing it eventually, perhaps in time to prevent a third pregnancy from bringing a little boy into the household. Well, Mark had no doubt that Frank would continue to be an excellent father, regardless of the gender of his child, so he beseeched his friend to return home and convince Ethel that she should have the baby. It was almost dawn before Mark won the argument. Later, back in the little white house on Hoffman Avenue in Grand Rapids, Frank did talk Ethel into having their third baby. And so, once upon a life and death dilemma, a University of Minnesota medical student named Mark Rabwin was awakened by a frantic young man in the middle of the night. You've never heard of Mark before, nor surely will ever hear of him again. But now, I hope you won't forget him, because in the winter of 1921, he and he alone stood between a baby-to-be and oblivion. An infant eventually born June 10, 1922. A completely normal, happy little girl whom the world would come to know as Judy Garland. Only now you know the rest of the story.